Blog Talk Radio.
Time now for the Gridiron Stud Show.
Well, you can be all American.
I'm actually, now. I can do it now. But I'm trying to focus on my position.
With your host, Chad Wilson.
It ain't no mess, Chad. You got to do something in the mix.
Bringing you high school, college, and NFL talk.
I don't rack a discipline.
Minasa, you all need more discipline.
True discipline.
Come on, get a grip.
Call us on the show today.
Don't get out of my face with that crazy stuff.
The number to call, 347-633-9365.
If y'all got to take, y'all know that.
Or you can reach us on Twitter, at Gridiron Stud.
Persians, come and get some.
And now, your host, Chad Wilson. It is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. This is the Gridiron Stud Show. This is a day that will be remembered. There is a new head coach at the University of Miami, and it is one Mark Richt, as broken by a one-time contributor to this show, Peter Ariz. Great job, Pete, even though you stiffed the Gridiron Stud Show a couple times there. We'll get you. We'll get out there and get you. Nevertheless, Mark Richt is the new guy at the University of Miami. This thing was going back and forth, left and right, all over the place. Butch Davis, Greg Schiano, Dan Mullen, Mark Richt. Kind of makes you wonder the way this thing was done, exactly what went down here. I mean, there was a wait there. When was Al Golden fired? When were some of the possibles named? And when did Mark Richt get fired? He got fired Monday, Sunday? Hired on Wednesday. When did he get fired? Seemed like just yesterday, and he's hired. So if you're Butch Davis or you're Mario Cristobal or you're Greg Schiano, any of the names that had been floating around out there for the last couple of weeks or so, how do you feel about that? They interviewed you. They vetted you, obviously. They took their time to find out things about you. And in 24, 48 hours, they found out what they needed to find out about Mark Richt. And he's your new head coach at the University of Miami. So I'm sure those other gentlemen will find themselves in another place. It's not going to be at the University of Miami. A coming home of sorts for Mark Richt, who is a Boca Raton native. Played at the University of Miami, somehow, some kind of way, ended up at Florida State, then at Georgia. It's funny how the new coach is named, and then the opposing fans, they start ripping. They just start going at it. They just start attacking it. They want to tell you about every failure that new head coach had at the last place. And they can pull up that information just as quick as ever. All-time record against ranked opponents. Record against rivals, how many championships he didn't win. That's what's going on right now. But nothing but good things to say about Mark Richt. Definitely a upstanding human being. Anyone who's met him, knows of him, knows that. Definitely a man strong in his faith, and no one has anything less than stellar to say about him. Is he a good fit at the University of Miami? That is what we will find out. I'm already on record saying I thought the best candidate for this job is someone who probably wanted to coach in the NFL someday. That doesn't fit Mark Richt. This is more than likely his last coaching job. And, you know, I had this discussion on Twitter early this morning. It was funny that, you know, I had this hot and heavy conversation about Mark Richt this morning. And my concern is that he's in nearing retirement age and you're in a retirement town. And sometimes your motivation can get sapped on that. You know, I know diehard Miami fans don't want to hear it. Listen, I'm here with the truth, okay? Just like I was during the Al Golden era. Folks didn't want to hear it from me then. Got really upset about it. And then lo and behold, I saw them saying the same things that I'd said many, several years ago. So that's what I'm here for. That's why I'm here, people. Miami has its trappings, both for those in the retirement age and those young players that come to the Miami Dolphins. It has its trappings for both. One can get lulled to sleep by the retirement-type atmosphere that there is here. The good weather, the laid-back retirement areas, the boating, the sand, the beaches, just the whole relaxation part of it can sometimes suck a coach that's, you know, moving into that part of his career can just suck him right in. And if you look at the history of the University of Miami, when things have gone absolutely great, it has been people that are here for a limited amount of time. And I just compared it to this. You don't put a child in a room full of toys and ask him to do his homework. Not going to get done. And being down here at the University of Miami at this age, and not, you know, overly old for Mark Richt, when you say 55 and, you know, Saban's still coaching at 70, but I don't see Mark Richt coaching to 70 years old. Coaching does not define his life. I think he would be at peace if he moved on right now, to be quite honest with you. And there were, you know, some reports that he was still deciding whether he did want to coach. And he, you know, did as much mention, not sure if he wanted to take a year off or something like that. I mean, he's near retirement age. It's different for everybody. And so when met with some serious opposition and challenges here at the University of Miami, will the lure of retirement, again, he's a Boca native, will that suck him in and kind of sap some of that energy and motivation? I learned a lot watching Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson as a head coach is as good as it gets. You couldn't get a better combination of X and O's as well as knowing the mind game and being able to push the right buttons for players to get the most out of them. He combined that like no one else ever before. And when he came to the Miami Dolphins, after having had success at the University of Miami and Dallas, I saw someone that kind of got pulled in by the allure of retirement. Ran into opposition in the form of Dan Marino. Marino couldn't get out of the way. It was too difficult to get him out of the way. And then, you know, eventually he just said, you know what, I'm going to go buy a boat. I'm going to go fishing down in the Keys, and you guys can have your franchise. I've already done what I wanted to do in this game. Now, true, Mark Richt has not won a national championship. I'm sure he would love to do that. But again, I don't think that would define him. So my only hope is that he is fully 100% motivated to restore the dynasty here at the University of Miami. That is my biggest concern. Because, again, I really felt like, and I don't know that someone was available out there that fit all of the criteria that I laid out. Only person I saw from where I sit that fit it is Jim Harbaugh, and of course, he's not available. Of the names that was spit out there, was this the best one? I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it was. Maybe it is. Again, this is one of those things where time will tell. But, you know, for Mark Richt, this will be different. He spent 15 years in Georgia. He's going to come out and it will not be a sold-out crowd against Vanderbilt. Or not Vanderbilt, but against Wake Forest. Will not be a sold-out crowd against Duke. Will not be what he had in Athens from that standpoint. And there'll be other challenges and other things that will be quite a bit different. And again, if those things persist and become heavy, will he drop the load and say, I'm going to get my boat too? So, don't want to see him at the Miami Boat Show 2 years from now. Hope he's all in. But again, the trappings, we've seen the free agents get trapped down here by the trappings of South Florida. And hoping that's not the case there with Mark Richt. All right, it is a recruiting roundtable Wednesday, so we will have our, you know, a pretty full lineup right here. Going to have Ryan Bartow on from 247 Sports, Andrew Spivey from Gator Country. Going to have Greg Biggins from Scout.com giving us the West Report, Corey Bender, Southeast Report. But first up today, because he has to be pushed to the head of the list, he's getting out of town. I don't know if he's running from the law, if he's working. But my next guest, Woody Womack, is on, and what a day. You know, as they say, what a wonderful time to be alive. And we're here, Woody Womack.
Listen, no,
coaching
any
news
word
in abundance.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, any word if Mark Richt got out of Georgia just to get away from me or what?
Man, we'll have to. That will definitely be one of the questions that will have to be asked at the initial press conference for sure. We'll definitely have to ask him that. I thought he was interviewing for the Virginia job today. Did he call from the desk of the athletic director over there at Virginia and accept the Miami job? How'd that whole thing work? How's that work?
Well, it's crazy. I don't know. I mean, I'm not one of these recruiting reporters masquerading as an insider on coaching news, but I know that we thought, Miami was a possibility. We also thought, playing at the Masters twice a week was a possibility. I mean, there was a good thinking that he might just shut it down and call it good. I mean, he's going to be making a certain amount of money to be down there working as he was to be kind of in retirement up here with the sweetheart deal they had given him on the way out. So it came together quickly, but, I'm surprised, but at the same time I'm not. And I'm happy for him to get another gig, especially with the way they kind of ran him out of here.
Yeah, kudos to Miami on being able to get their guy, too, because it becomes obvious that that's who they wanted. I mentioned in the outset Mario Cristobal, Greg Schiano, Butch Davis. These were names that were kicked around for several weeks, and they were trying to I got my fingers up quoting here, trying to compile information on these guys. It took several weeks. Mark Richt becomes available at the end of last week, and I guess they got all the information they needed, Federal Express, and he's hired. So very, very interesting there. All right, there's another job. There's several jobs open, but there's one of interest that I want to talk to you about, and that's a South Carolina job. What's going to happen there? There was talk of Kirby Smart. Obviously, he's not going to be there. He's the next guy you're going to harass up there in Athens. So what's going to happen there in South Carolina, in Columbia? What's the inside scoop on that?
Well, let me tell you something. Kirby likes me a lot more than some of the other options that we're interviewing for the job. So just put that under your hat.
We'll see if that remains so, Woody.
I think are they going to hire Will Muschamp? Is that going to happen? You might know that better than me, but I'm hearing that name.
I'm hearing that name, but when you see something on Twitter, you got to just delete the app.
See, but you talk to people outside of Twitter that know about these things too. So I think Muschamp's in the mix. I think the name I heard that I thought was actually interesting was the Oklahoma offensive coordinator Lincoln Riley. He's got ties to the Carolinas. He's a guy that the kids absolutely love. The problem is he's younger than I am, so I think people are a little nervous about having a guy that young in that type of position. But listen, I think it's more exciting to hire him than Muschamp personally. I think if you're trying to catch the attention of these kids and kind of compete and stand out, especially, at a time where the SEC East is still pretty competitive, I think made that bold move like that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see there. I don't know if Muschamp needs to dive back into an SEC-type job, but once you've coached it somewhere like Florida, you can't go and bounce down to a Toledo. So I think that's kind of where he's at. I'm sure he's going to make a good run for that. But speaking of Muschamp, there's an open defensive coordinator job over there in Georgia. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's going to stay in Athens. Could Muschamp be ending up in Athens with his good buddy Kirby Smart?
You know, I think that could happen. I think that's. I think if he can get a head coaching job, he's got to take it. If not, if he decides he wants to leave Auburn, and there's been talk about, you know, when his buyout is up, after the SEC championship game, maybe that's when he makes the move. So he's got some time to kind of weigh his options there, and I could see it. I could see it happening. You know, Pruitt, the recruits love him. I don't know if the coaches and stuff like that in this area would give him the same type of endorsement at the high school level, but you know, the kids really love him, and he'll find a job somewhere. I can't imagine him staying, especially now that Kirby Smart's the hire.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear that that's not going to be the case, that he's not going to stay there. All right, well, there was a big-time quarterback recruit that was committed to Georgia and has, you know, since decommitted and opened things back up. But now, with things settling in Georgia, is Jacob Eason going to come back to Georgia? His high school coach tweeted as much, you know, you folks in Georgia, relax. Should we believe that?
Boy, that I said on our podcast this week that I got to get the publicist that our high school coach has, because he has been making the rounds on the media front. But I think he's going to stay. Now Rick's going to Miami is an interesting wrinkle, because, you know, Brad Kaya, maybe only one more year before he leaves. Eason could go in for a year, kind of wait his turn, and then get the gig. If he goes into Georgia, he's going to go. This will be the third offensive coordinator in 3 years for Georgia, assuming they don't keep Schottenheimer. That'll be three different guys he's dealt with. You know, at least he can say, I trust Rick, I trust the guy he's going to bring in, because that's what he had said before. So, you know, Miami's all of a sudden in the mix. He's at Florida right now, and I think that's a real option too now.
Yeah, well, it's not often you get this kind of late tap dance with a quarterback recruit who's also going to be an early enrollee. So whatever he's deciding he's going to do is going to have to happen pretty soon here.
Right, he's going to have to make up his mind, but I really don't think we're going to know until probably we're in San Antonio for the Army game. I think he's really going to make us sweat. I know, luckily, he's from Washington, so the West Coast guys really have to deal with it, but I think he's going to make us sweat till the very end. But if I had to make a prediction, I'd say he sticks with Georgia.
Yeah, well, that's certainly going to be interesting, because, again, we don't get this kind of late stuff with a quarterback. You know, something that was weird that happened this week, I was pretty sure last week, actually, it was reported that Dino Babers was going to end up being the new coach at Central Florida. We had a lot of people believing it, and the guy had to come out himself and say, don't believe stuff you read on the Internet, and the guy was right. Scott Frost ends up being the new coach at Central Florida. Like, what happened there?
Well, I couldn't tell you, but the problem we have is, as I alluded to earlier, it's hard to do. It isn't an easy job to do. It's hard enough just to cover recruiting, and then when you try to dip in and maybe try to do a lot of stuff on the coaching front, I mean, you know a lot of coaches. I know a lot of coaches. I have coaches calling me saying, float my name for something. Like, anybody cares what Woody Womack said? Like, an AD is going to make a hire based on one of my tweets or something. But that's what happens. So, I mean, you got to be careful. I mean, you know, I went to UCF. People told me that wasn't the guy they were hiring. Our UCF site ended up breaking the actual news that Frost was going to be the man, and I got to give Brandon Hellrich some props there. So, you know, I just think there are a lot of guys who get paid a lot of money to do things, and, you know, when it's a name like Bruce Feldman or something like that, okay, you're going to take it at what it's worth. But if it's not one of those national guys, you know, or someone that's really close to the situation, maybe that covers the school on a daily basis, I kind of wait and see, and that's been my approach. That's why you don't see me floating any names out there, because, of course, I hear stuff. You know, I hear if Muschamp goes to South Carolina, he's bringing T-Rob with him to be the defensive coordinator. But what does that mean? It's a hypothetical situation that one person told me. So unless someone's going to go on the record and tell me that, you know, I'm going to keep it to myself for maybe – let some people on the message boards know it, but saying on a message board and kind of reporting it as an actual report is are two different things. So just be careful. Like I told you on Twitter, I told you, check the source before you run with the news.
Oh, yeah, I got pump faked a couple times yesterday. I was trying to do a bunch of things. I was low on sleep. I was hungry and just went to retweeting everything. And I had like three guys hired to the wrong places yesterday.
How about Scott Frost, though? What a good hire. Oh, my Lord.
I think for UCF, listen, I'm not one of these guys huge on the whole hurry-up offense thing. I think it sucks for defenses and probably not good in some places. But at UCF, I think that's an absolute great hire. I mean, people forget that he was a hot name a couple years ago. I think he could come in, set up that offense there, and can be quite entertaining. And you know what? Steal offensive recruits from the Big Three, to be honest with you. Steal receivers and quarterbacks and running backs and all that stuff from the Big Three if he gets it going there.
Well, and he is working hard already. I mean, he's shooting for the stars. He's already trying to talk to Felipe Franks, that he's committed to Florida. I mean, he's swinging for the fences, and you got to kind of, you know, compared to the guy they had there before who was, you know, didn't know half of the recruits' names in the class on signing day, it's got to be exciting for UCF fans.
Yeah, well, I know you're a happy old Knight alumni here, so enjoy that one. We'll see if it works out. I got a couple of guys at UCF, so want to see them do well, and, you know, I appreciate you coming on. I know you got a flight to jump on there. Where you going, Mexico? Where are you going?
I'm actually going to Orlando. I might go watch a little playoff ball on Friday, West Orange and Osceola. Good game. Maybe my alma mater will let me in there. I mean, I was on the Do Not Fly list under the O'Leary regime, so maybe they open the doors.
Oh, man.
The doors back up.
Yeah, well, play nice, myself, Woody, and play nice, and maybe you'll get yourself in there, man. I appreciate you coming on. You're always welcome here on the Gridiron Stud Show.
All right, appreciate it, Chad.
All right, Woody Womack from Rivals.com giving us a little info there on the South Carolina coaching search, a little stuff there on what's going on at Georgia. And we touched a little bit. Look, a lot of what we got to talk about here is the coaching search. I understand it's a recruiting roundtable show, but coaching is a big part of this whole recruiting thing. Might be the biggest part of this thing. So we're heading over to someone where their coach is firmly in place, but they're juggling around a couple quarterbacks, and I'm talking about the University of Florida, and to talk about the recruiting going on over there is none other than Andrew Spivey from GatorCountry.com. A little bit of a panic button could have been touched yesterday, Andrew, with Felipe Franks after he learned that Jacob Eason was coming in for a visit to the University of Florida. Felipe Franks says along the lines of that was not great news for him. What can you tell us on that situation? Has that cooled down?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Felipe Franks' mom actually about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, and she said that the report was a little exaggerated, is what she said, and that media was trying to create drama, is exactly how she said it. She said that they had a good meeting with Les Miles on Tuesday night. It was simply that, a meeting because Les had asked to come in, and she said they're not planning to take any visits, that they're going to visit Florida next Saturday and Sunday for their official, and then they're going to shut it down. She said he's going to Florida, and nothing's planning to change on that end. So we'll see. It's always a mom's talk, so we'll see what actually happens on Friday. As Florida fans know, he's allowed to sneak in somewhere, as he did for 3 weeks at Florida. So be interesting to see. But if Jacob Eason doesn't sign with Florida, then I think everything's okay. If he does decide to flip to Florida, then I think that's when you become a little concerned about Franks, if you're concerned about it. I mean, you get a quarterback, then I don't think there should be any bother, especially a guy like Jacob Eason, who is one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the country.
Well, what do you do if you're Florida, if you get Jacob Eason and Felipe Franks? How do you juggle that?
Well, I think Florida's in a position right now that would that really be a bad thing for Florida? Let the guys come in and compete and see. I mean, technically, Florida has Treon Harris, and his future is kind of up in the air after this year. So then you have no quarterback with the experience of playing in a big game on campus that's eligible to play, as Will Greer's still out for 6 games. So would you take Franks and then have Eason and then let him compete with Luke Del Rio for playing time? The good thing is both of those guys early enrollees, so I don't think that's an issue. But there is another quarterback that's already committed in Kyle Trask, who is planning to early enroll And a lot of people are throwing out, well, he doesn't start for his high school team. But I know from speaking with several people, the Florida coaching staff is very high on his ability. So it's a kind of a juggle that's there. And I don't know if there's really a true answer right now. I don't even know if the coaches really have a true answer of what would happen if all three wanted in.
I myself have taken a look at Trask, and he's a guy that could start at many, 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 many high schools in Texas and across this country. So he just happens to be behind someone that's pretty damn good. So getting a Trask would not be the worst thing in the world if that ended up being the guy that they go with. But if all these guys are early enrolling.
Yeah, and I think the thing to remember on Trask is he came and worked out for Nussmeier and McElwain twice this summer. And the first time, Florida liked him a lot, invited him back again, and he worked out again. And then they offered him on the spot. So apparently they seen something that they liked. And I think you would agree with me, if those two guys like him, we have to kind of trust their opinion.
Sure, why not? I mean, or we could just go with what Twitter thinks. I mean, that usually works. Look, the dream scenario, okay, for Florida, you get Jacob Eason, you get Felipe Franks, you got the Trask kid, all three early enrollees, you've got Treyon Harris there. What's the spring? How are you divvying up reps in the spring? This is going to be one hell of an interesting spring at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, I think that –
And then Del Rio, who I haven't even mentioned, you got to throw in there. So five guys needing reps.
Yeah, and I mean, everything we heard this fall was that McElwain and Nussmeier really liked Del Rio, and there was some talk that if he'd have been eligible this year, he'd have been competing with Treyon and Greer to get some snaps this year. So, you know, my thing is for Florida is it's kind of the best scenario. You get those guys, and hopefully one of those guys is able to complete a pass, and you don't have a game like Saturday. And then it's even interesting when Will Greer comes back in game seven. What happens there? Greer end up coming back and beating that guy out?
Let's talk about Will Greer, because I believe it was yesterday. We had a whole lot going on, a lot of activity on social media about Will Greer possibly withdrawing from the University of Florida, saying that he had done it already. Then, you know, it was confirmed that was not true. But does Will Greer gauge the chances of him staying at the University of Florida? Gauge the chances of Will Greer being enrolled for the 2015-2016 school year at the University of Florida, given what we see going down at his position.
Yeah, I mean, Cassidy Hill, one of our writers on our site, Chad, you know her as well, she had the opportunity last night to speak with Chad Greer, and she knows the Greers very well, and Chad told her flat out there's been no transfer talk whatsoever. Will plans on staying. He's taking exams right now, and no matter where he transfers, he has to sit out. And he loves Florida, and quite frankly, he basically thinks that Will's going to be the best quarterback on campus and earn his job back. So I don't think that right now, I would say it's a really good shot. I would say it's probably 75% shot that he comes back, unless a guy like Ethan just tears it up this spring and Will catches on. It's like, oh, maybe I don't play. But, you know, if a guy this spring's still struggling, I think Greer comes back. I think he takes his shot in the fall, and then maybe if he doesn't win it back in the fall, then he decides to go elsewhere. But from everything we're told, he's coming back.
So let's take a look at this plate now. You're going to have three quarterbacks in this class, it looks like it, because I haven't even talked about the Haskins kid, who on film I really, really like. Spivey, I really, really like this kid on film.
I
so,
think
you know, I will dare say that I watched the three of those guys yesterday, and I came out being the most impressed with him. So you got these three guys here competing for a job that they believe will be sort of open, given what they've seen so far. Treyon Harris trying to hold on to the job. Luke Del Rio being probably the person who most would think, because of experience and ability, would be a front runner. And then Will Greer somehow trying to get reps in there. I mean, it's a great problem for Florida, but for God's sakes, that looks like a serious problem. How are you fixing that one?
Yeah, I that's an issue that I think Mac will have to kind of play to. I think that when you look at it, in my opinion, from watching film, seeing these guys, I think a guy like Franks and a guy like Trask are both guys that really need to develop more. So if they were to land three quarterbacks, and I think you really have a battle of Del Rio, Treon, Jacob Eason if he comes, and then Will Grier. I think you really have those four guys battling while Trask and Franks kind of develop more. I think we're all in agreement that Frank needs his mechanics a little bit better. He's got the size. He's got the ability. It's just his mechanics are a little off. And then Trask still needs to develop more, still needs to get the playbook in. He's a guy that's been sitting for, you know, 2 years behind a guy, so he needs to kind of develop a little more. So I think it'd be those four guys, but it's kind of a wild year that's happened. Last year you have two guys playing quarterback in the spring, and they're both guys are playing with the first string, and now you have four guys. I think Mac would definitely take that, but I wouldn't want to be in his shoes filling out that practice plan.
Yeah, you know, absolutely on that, and, you know, we're going to have some time to kind of see this thing develop. But, again, all these early enrollees, decisions got to be made quick here. Javon Myers, decommitted. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there was a little bit of rumbling Saturday night that he was starting to get worried about all the defensive backs in the class. I mean, six defensive backs in the class, and only got five. But the key for these guys to remember is Florida's defensive backfield took a major hit in the offseason with J.T. Jackson and DeAndre Porter leaving. Then you have potentially Vernon Hargraves and Keanu Neal going pro early. I think we all believe Vernon Hargraves is going to go pro early. And so you have three guys in Quincy Wilson, Chris Williamson, and Jalen Tabor. That's all they have at corner. So Florida needs to restock that. And that's something that I think Javon Myers needs to know. But he has people in his head, and as we all know, those guys are able to influence him. But it wouldn't surprise me if he came back. But the one school I've heard a lot about is Ole Miss. Ole Miss is trying to get in the mix, and then Florida State obviously visited him today, and Auburn's in the mix. So we'll see if he gets back to Florida and takes that official that he has planned for January.
Speaking of something in their head, or maybe not having anything in their head, I had the pleasure, Spivey, of sitting in the stands on Saturday watching the Florida State Florida game near a recruit, Vandarius Cowan. Name ring a bell?
Yeah, I think you
about
make
20
some people upset.
About 25 feet away from me the entire night, wearing Florida garb, and just openly, outwardly cheering as loud as he could for Florida State amongst and in the middle of a bunch of Florida fans. Listen, back in my day in the Orange Bowl when, you know, the tickets were about $5 to $7, this kid probably would have got his head split open. But as it stood, you know, no one really bothered the guy. You know, he did his thing. He had on Florida. First of all, he had on Florida State clothes underneath the Florida clothes. Apparently the young man, as disillusioned as he was and is, showed up to get Florida tickets in full Florida State garb. I mean, he might as well have had on like a Florida State outfit. And they told him, you're not coming in here like that, so they give him some Florida clothes. What does he do? Puts them on, proceeds to cheer loud for Florida State, takes the stuff off at the end of the game, so he's standing there in Florida State stuff in the crowd. Then he goes on the next day and say, Florida fans are very rude and unprofessional. Can you believe the balls on this kid?
I could not believe it. And then he had the nerve to trash Florida, and he was no longer interested in Florida because they wouldn't let him wear his Florida State gear. And, went on a big rant, long rant, him and his mother both, bashing Florida, saying Florida would never get another visit from him. And I think Florida's in the kind of the same boat. They don't want him back up. That's probably what they're saying. So, wild thing. I mean, the guy has had his own problems. You know, I think he was suspended for a couple of games this year. So, I don't know if that's the guy Florida wants to be recruiting anyway. So, they may have had a blessing on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not liking that kid's future, and I don't really like to talk about kids like that. But this one here really seems like he's got a screw loose. So if he wants to go to Florida State, I guess God bless him. I don't really see him at any of these places. He's got a whole lot to fix. So, yeah, just one of those weird things. When I was reading his tweets, all I could hear in my head was the Twilight Zone music theme going off. But nevertheless, never a dull moment, man. Yeah, right? Wouldn't that be something? I don't think he's going to be found anywhere near the swamp anytime soon. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on, man, and get back to work. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the recruiting world. Can't wait to hear from you next week.
Definitely, Chad. See you in Atlanta.
All right. That's Andrew Spivey from GatorCountry.com giving us the latest on the quarterback recruiting situation. I mean, Florida is trying to haul in, I guess, the mother of all quarterback classes here for 2016. We'll see if they're able to pull that off, and then once they do, how they are going to juggle all that stuff going on. All right, it's time to take a quick break. When I get back, I'm going to have Greg Biggins on to talk West Coast football and anything else he wants to talk about. The guy's multi-talented. Happy to have him on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the Gridiron Studs Show right after this.
OMG. Look at all of this paperwork. Are you a business owner and you're buried under a mountain of paperwork? You need an MVP on your team. And that MVP is MVP Business Concierge Services. They know that sometimes paperwork can get in between you and your customers. Why not spend the time doing what it is you do best? Getting new customers, handling the ones that you have now, and while you're doing that, you can have an MVP working for you. We know that tax season is the busiest time of the year for business owners. No more missing deadlines and getting IRS penalties for late filing. MVP Business Concierge Services will do all the hard work for you. They will streamline your payroll, streamline your finances, and have you on track. With trustworthy advisors that are very reliable, they will take the hard work away from you and get you back into what it is you're doing best. How do you get this MVP on your team? You call right now, 844-696-8722. 844-MY-MVP-CC or send an email to info@mymvp.cc and get an MVP on your team today.
To all you high school recruits out there, you want to get recruited by the colleges? Step up and visit GridironStuds.com today. We got college coaches visiting. We've got people visiting. We've got fans visiting. If you want to be seen, get your video up there right now. It's easy. Create a profile. Takes 2 minutes. Stop playing games. Get off of Facebook. Take control of your future. GridironStuds.com is where you need to be today. Visit now. Set your profile up and let yourself be seen.
Oh! 8:37 here on the East Coast. It is the recruiting roundtable here on the Gridiron Studs Show, Wednesday night edition. So much going on in the world of college football. We're just not in a race here for a college football playoff. We're in a race to fill coaching jobs and recruiting spots. So much going on. You got to love college football. It's turning into that year-round sport. They're doing the same thing the NFL did. Never a break. And you know what? The big loser in all this is college basketball. Did anyone know the college basketball season started? You could hardly notice. Like, college football has stolen all the thunder away from that thing. College basketball, better figure out a marketing plan. All right, I'm happy to bring on this next guy from all the way out west, as he does every week, and keeping us in tune on what's happening on the Pacific coast of things. And that's Greg Biggins from Scout.com. Greg, it's not as crazy out west as it is down south here today, man, but it's always crazy nevertheless, right?
It is always crazy. But as a West Coast guy, I will say, no, the south is where it's happening. Definitely, definitely hurts my heart to say that, but the south's where it's at.
Yeah, no doubt. That is, you guys have cooled everything off because, hey, you got a coach out there at USC, and it's Clay Helton. And from what I understand, it seems like a lot of people are happy about it. Let me just ask you this right off the bat, though. You're out there. You know what's going on. Is there anyone out there that's unhappy about seeing Helton hired as the new USC coach?
You know, in terms of players on the team and recruits, I haven't heard a single negative. Now, some of the, you know, the fan base, you go on the message boards and you kind of see what they're saying. They were hoping for, you know, John Gruden or, you know, Vince Lombardi. I mean, they wanted the grand slam. They wanted the home run hire. Just never saw that happening. Just from what I was hearing, just never saw it. And I think the feeling was, and we talked about it last week or the week before, you know, the more buzz was Clay Helton getting it. If they can just kind of finish off strong. I thought after the loss to Oregon, that might have been tough unless they went ahead and blew out UCLA, which they did last week. So they went ahead and offered it to them. So interesting timing. They got Stanford this week, who's very, very good. If Stanford goes and beats them by double digits, which is very possible because Stanford's a heck of a football team, all of a sudden now it looks like, you know, was that a great hire? That's probably the issue with the timing of it. But so far, a lot of good positive reaction. And again, the recruits that I've talked to absolutely love the hire.
Yeah, and it seems like that's something heavily supported by the recruits, and that ends up being what everyone talks about and cares about. What do the recruits think? So you got to keep the recruits happy. So from that standpoint, good hire by USC. We'll see about all the other stuff down the road, obviously. Well, there's a young man out there that's a pretty doggone good wide receiver. Some may say he might be the best out west. Obviously, you know, when you say stuff like that, you got to say arguably. But nevertheless, Javon McKinley, one of the top guys out west as a pass catcher, and he recently had an in-home visit from Notre Dame. Tell us about that. Can the Irish come out there and take this guy out of the state of California?
They can. They have a legitimate, realistic shot to do it. He's already visited twice unofficially. He had a great official trip, so he's been out there three times. And, you know, when a kid does that, you know, goes out twice on his own dime, you know he's pretty serious. He really liked the home visit. He likes those coaches a lot. You know, Coach Kelly, Coach Denbrock, he likes the offense. On his trip, I think he threw the ball, you know, something like 35 times that particular game. So he sees the offense and he sees the need. He loves the academics. I think his family is okay with him going that far from home. I do feel like they wouldn't mind him being a little closer to home. I think UCLA might be the choice for them. But between Washington, Oregon, and obviously Notre Dame, UCLA, I would not be surprised by any of those four schools. Right now, it's an absolute toss-up. You know, he's got one more official trip left, which is to UCLA next week, the 12th, and then he will announce at the Army All-American Bowl. So Notre Dame's got a great chance, but I think those other three schools I just named have an equally good a chance as well. It's honestly wide open.
Of those other schools outside of Notre Dame that you mentioned, who's on him the hardest? Who wants him the most? Who's going to probably put in the serious dirty work down the road to steal him out of the Irish's hands where he seems to be right now?
So the two schools that they constantly will say are recruiting him, you know, recruiting the hardest is Washington and Notre Dame. Those are the two that are on him hard. Oregon and UCLA, they don't really recruit that way. They don't send a million letters. They don't do, you know, all that. They recruit heavily. You know, they'll do as much. But in terms of just going above and beyond, they've never really been known for that. That's kind of Washington style. And they're saying, you know, they're getting handwritten letters every single day and the constant Twitter messages and the DMs and all that. Notre Dame also is really, really on them hard. So those are the two schools that are recruiting hardest. I don't know if the family – I mean, I know they love it, but I don't think that's going to be, you know, the deal breaker. And it never – honestly, it never should be. It shouldn't matter, you know, the next 4 years of your life because this school sent me more letters. It's a smart family. They know what's going on. So it is a nice thing for them, but it's not going to be a top five reason why they picked their school of choice.
Well, I don't know if you play this game, but I'm going to ask you to play it, kind of put you on the spot a little bit here. You've watched the kid play, obviously, more than our listeners since you're out there. In your opinion, and I'm going to stress just your opinion, where do you think's the best fit for that kid?
For Javon, God, that is a tough question. That is putting me on the spot. I'm going to tick off three fan bases by making that choice. Honestly, from a pure, you know, playing style standpoint, you know, Oregon makes a lot of sense. His high school offense is exactly the same as what they do at Oregon. They hold the whole fast pace, you know, run and gun. That's exactly what he does at Oregon. But I will say this, you know, academics are extremely huge for him, 4.0 kid. So from that standpoint, I think UCLA makes a lot of sense. I mean, of the four schools, UCLA probably needs receivers more than anywhere else. You know, they need a guy who can go in there and get the separation. You just saw UCLA's receivers get locked up last week against USC.
USC had no problem lining up man-to-man and pressing these guys because they felt they could win there, and they were right.
Yeah, and the thing was, USC hasn't been doing that all year. So it's almost like that's a major slap in the face if you're, you know, a UCLA receiver. They've been playing, you know, more zone. They went 90% man and really locked those guys up. So they got Theo Howard coming in. You know, he can run. They need some speed on the outside. But, you know, Javon – I love the kid. You know, the guy I compare him to, and it's kind of old school, you'll probably appreciate this, is, you know, Michael Irvin. You know, he's got that same 6'2", strong body, and he uses it
right.
so well. He doesn't push off, but he pushes off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he knows how to get
Yeah, well, that's
kind of
how Mike described
faster.
Things, right? That's how Mike described
yeah,
his game.
Not,
like, no
penalty.
I didn't see one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And,
yeah,
and
there you go.
He doesn't look like he's – and he runs so much faster than he looks. I mean, he just – he can run away from guys, and he's physical, so – I think he's a guy that UCLA really should be putting the full court press on. They're not, for whatever reason, they're recruiting him just hard enough to stay in the game. So from that standpoint, you know, you kind of give, right now I would give a little bit of an edge probably to Washington or Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, you know, another one of those things we'll watch develop as we move along here. Speaking of you know, wide receivers and big bodies, Marquise Spiker, 2018 kid, just has Washington and Arizona State. I watched him on film today, and pretty impressive kid. He's listed at 6'3", I believe, but he looks 6'5" to me. How tall is this kid? Understanding that he's probably still growing.
Yeah, he is still growing. You know, his coach actually was at Rancho Verde and had DeMario Stringfellow, who had a really nice game for Ole Miss last week.
Mm-hmm.
Coach is now over at Marion Valley, and he says this guy is a better prospect than Stringfellow was. Different type of player. This guy's long and lean, whereas Stringfellow is just, you know, he's 220 pounds and just jacked. You know, mm-hmm. Spiker is more your long, lanky, smooth, athletic, just better athlete, run, jumps, natural pass catcher, all that. He's much more further ahead from that standpoint. So, he said he's 6'3", but he's got those long arms, long neck, so you can look at him and still, he's going to be 6'5". You know, I think you're right on the money on that. He's going to keep growing, and he's just a natural athlete. The game just looks easy for him, the way he played it. So, West Coast-wise, that 2018 class is absolutely loaded. Probably the two best prospects in the California class for 2018 are both wide receivers, Brian Hightower over at Calabasas, who plays with Keyshawn Johnson Jr. and Darnay Holmes. And then Jalen Hall, who plays at Hawkins High School. They have, you know, four or five major, major high D1 kids. So keep your eyes on those two guys, Brian Hightower, Jalen Hall. Probably the two best prospects in Spiker. You know, he's not too far behind.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing how they progress. And, you know, there's always others that will pop up in there late. All right, well, listen, I'm always the one asking the questions. But, you know, let us know. What's something we really need to know, whether that's out west or anywhere across the country? Tell us something that we really need to know in recruiting circles right now.
You know, I kind of heard you. I missed most of it, unfortunately, but I kind of heard you and Bobby touching a little bit on the Jacob Eason deal. I'm hearing Florida's got a legitimate chance with him. You know, and a lot of it is because Doug Nussmeier is, you know, a former Washington guy. He was at Washington. Then he moved over to Michigan, and that was one of Jacob's first offers. They have a really tight relationship. So I think right now Georgia needs to make a real home run hire as their OC. He does love Georgia. He's been committed for a long, long time. But I talked to two people from Washington today who said, don't be surprised. In fact, they are predicting, like, they think he's going to end up at Florida. I know they got Felipe Franks, who I like a lot. But, shoot, Jacob Eason, for me, I mean, this guy is Drew Bledsoe. I mean, 6'6", with a big arm, better athlete than people give him credit for. I think he's a elite kid, and if Florida can somehow swing that's huge for the Gators. Cause this guy's, like I said, this guy's big time.
Yeah, and you know, I was discussing this with Spivey because you've got Felipe Franks, you've got the Kyle Trask kid out of Texas, you've got Luke Del Rio, who's on the roster right now, waiting out the transfer situation. You've got Treyon Harris, and then, you know, Will Greer possibly hanging around. I mean, that's a serious logjam at quarterback for Florida coming into the spring.
It is. And again, I always caution. I don't ever give kids advice, obviously. That's kind of stay away from that. But you got to always be cautious about picking a school because of an assistant coach. And like I said, Coach Nussmeier and Jacob go way back. Coach Nuss is friends with Jacob's coach. Again, he's a former Washington guy. So that's the draw. But, I mean, we're seeing it, you know, every year. Head coaches don't stick around that much. So if you're going to go because of an assistant coach, there's no telling how long that guy is going to be there. So do you make that huge decision next 4 years of your life for an assistant who might not even be there a year from now, 2 years from now? So I think you need to be careful. Again, Georgia's got a chance. They got a great chance to hold them. Hopefully they hire a big-time OC. But I think right now Florida is in the mix, and a lot of it is because of Coach Nuss. And you mentioned the logjam. my guess, and I haven't talked to the guy, but if they were to land Jacob, it'd be hard for me to see Felipe sticking with that commitment. I know he's very confident in his ability, but I also know LSU is still pushing hard for Felipe as well. So, you know, that's I think LSU's probably hoping that Easton goes to Florida so
right.
to kind of get back in with Franks.
Yeah, well, this is going to get crazy because both of these guys are early enrollees, meaning they need to make
Absolutely.
A decision
yep.
Really, really soon
like, what,
here. So that's going to be
3 or 4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fireworks. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on and dropping those nuggets on us. Always great information from you, Greg. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Thanks, Chad. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. That's Greg Briggins from Scout.com giving us a little information on what's going on out west, and then also some strong information on Jacob Eason, who's been all the news in recruiting here over the last 2 days. All right, well, bringing it back from the west, back down south, which is the hottest area at the moment because there is a brand new coach at the University of Miami. You know, Corey, I contacted you earlier today and said we would discuss the University of Miami search. We don't need to do that anymore. We do need to discuss, though, the hiring of the brand new coach at the University of Miami in one, Mark Richt. What are your quick thoughts on Richt being the guy at the University of Miami?
I think just how everything played out. I mean, you can go a week ago and no one was really bringing up Mark Richt. That really caught people by surprise when they let him go on Sunday, including myself. So, I mean, it felt like, I mean, Miami got a gift in their lap. I mean, like I said, there are so many names involved. You got the Butch Davises, the Mario Cristobals. You have Dan Mullins. But like I said, when that news broke on Sunday, I immediately went to Twitter. I thought that'd be a home run. Like I said, he's from Boca Raton. Obviously, he's done a great job recruiting South Florida over the past 15 years when he was at Georgia. And I think it's a home run hire. I talked to almost all the recruits committed and non-committed throughout Florida, and I didn't hear a single negative thing. I mean, everyone's jacked up about the hire. A lot of people, some of the younger kids said, you know, I don't know him yet because, you know, Georgia wasn't recruiting me before, but they're just anxious just to get on campus and meet that staff, whoever he brings in. And the thing that's interesting about that is, I mean, you see so many names getting thrown around for the coordinators, and I know I've seen reports, too, about, you know, they have a lot of funding going on as far as big money assistants that are actually going to, you know, pay for this time under this staff. So it's going to be interesting. I definitely think it's the best hire they could have made of all the guys they had out there. I mean, there's other guys that probably would have been great fits as well. But like I said, he's one of the more household names. He's been consistent over his 15 years. And on top of his coaching, man, he's just a great guy. I mean, a guy who just wants to lead you. And like I said, I think Miami hit a home run. And I've heard, you know, all positive things from every recruit I spoke to.
Well, it's interesting that you say that about the recruits, because when asked several weeks ago who they wanted to see hired at the University of Miami, the overwhelming consensus was Mario Cristobal. How did all that change?
Yeah, I think part of it is just being a teenager. I mean, some of these kids, I mean, I've heard a bunch of them. I heard Larry Scott for some kids. And, but yeah, like you said, the overwhelming favorite by a mile was Mario Cristobal. And, you know, as this heat up, and I think part of it too, though, I don't think some of these recruits thought that Mark Richt would be available. I think if people would have thought, like, there's a good, very good chance that Mark Richt was going to be available, I think a lot of kids would have kind of wondered, like, oh, I hope Mark Richt's available. I hope we can get him to come back to Miami. I think part of that just had to do with, I just think a lot of people were caught off guard, you know, on Sunday when they decided to part ways with him. But I know what you mean. I know a lot of the overwhelming favorite was Cristobal. You had some kids wanting Butch Davis. But like I said, every kid, I mean, it was just kind of, I mean, they're definitely pleased. I mean, no kid was kind of hoping. I mean, no kid's probably going to go out public and say, oh, I don't like the hire, but you can just tell from talking to kids and their voice and, you know, talking to their families and stuff, and everyone's really pleased. Like I said, I think there's a lot of kids didn't expect this, and now everyone's like, wow, you know, Mark Richt's the head coach of Miami, and, you know, kudos, man, to the Miami Athletic Department. Like I said, they got him, and, you know, reportedly from all the reports, and like I said, they're probably going to bring in a great assistant coaching staff, too, so I think it's going to be exciting times. I know with you playing at Miami, I know it probably should be pretty exciting for you, too. I mean, the pretty high-profile hire, I'm definitely pleased with it, too.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, always anxious to see how these things work out. I am definitely on record, having said earlier in the day that I'm concerned about an older coach coming to the University of Miami, whether that's Butch Davis or that is Mark Richt, because, you know, you're nearing that end of your career, and if you run into some serious resistance, which you will run into the University of Miami, do you kind of get trapped into the feeling of wanting to retire? I mean, because that sun on you feeling good every day of the week every month of the year can kind of pull you away. That's a real thing. I don't want people to discount that. I watched it with Jimmy Johnson. I mean, that's, like I said, as good a coach as you can have, and ran into all kind of resistance with not being able to move Marino, and just said, hey, you know what, it's really nice here. I think this is where I want to retire. Let me open a restaurant. Let me buy a boat, and I'm out, guys. I'll see you. So I hope we don't run into something like that. That's my only concern with Mark Richt.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I know, I think it's something you put on Twitter earlier, too. I mean, it wasn't like he accepted the job like right on the spot. There's always the talk of maybe taking that year off. So it wasn't like one of those offers that felt like, in my opinion, that he was just, you know, pounced on immediately. You know, he had to think about it. Like, do I want to take a year off? You know, honestly, the UVA job, I know there's reports that he actually interviewed for that. So it's one of the, like you said, the age on top of it. And you said you never know. He was contemplating taking a break off for a year, so especially after 15 straight years on the grind in the SEC. So I'm with you on that, though. I'll definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. But you can't find a better human being than Mark Richt. Someone I've had a chance to meet, as solid an individual as there is. Let's talk about someone that has picked up a little bit of steam here, a young guy out at Chaminade who's had a really good season, and that's the young man that's playing defensive end over there, Devon Hawkins. I hope I'm saying his name right, the first name right. But he's picked up a couple offers. What can you tell us about this kid?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, he's looking at 6'4", 240. He's a lean 242. He really carries that weight well. He's a high-character kid. And you know, right now, I think he's a kid that he might end up shifting inside. He's a big kid already, 6'4", 240. So we'll see eventually where he ends up position-wise. But he's a kid that needs to keep working on his explosiveness, his quickness, and stuff like that. But as far as, you know, pure strength, passing the eye test and a good frame, there's not many 2018 DNs that I've seen in person that it definitely looked like Devon Hawkins. I mean, he's a first-class kid, too, and I was joking off his head coach. I mean, obviously, I shake hands with a lot of people in this business, you know, meeting, you know, new recruits and coaches. I've never had a harder handshake from anyone in my life than that kid. He had the hardest grips I've ever had, and the kid's just a man, though. Like I say, he's a beast, 6'4", 240, real active hands, real physical. And the one thing I like about him, he has a good motor, too. He has a motor that's always going, and he's getting wants to get better. You can tell he loves football, and right now Syracuse, NC State, FIU, and Charlotte have offered. And like you said, he's grateful to be in the position he's in, man. I mean, I did an interview with him, and he told me he basically almost broke down when he got that first offer from Syracuse. So this is a kid that really wants to be good. He's willing to put in the work, and honestly, he has to play to go with it, but he's also a high-character kid, a kid you just kind of want to root for, you know?
Sure. Getting back to the Miami coaching situation, now that the coach is in place, I think now all of the attention is going to get turned to who are the assistants and what Miami guys are going to be hired and who's going to be kept off of the staff. Can you give us any information on that, on any of that right now, or do you still need some time to figure out which end is up?
Yeah, as far as the whole assistants thing, like I said, I got some reports earlier I was trying to confirm as far as him bringing in. As far as me concrete, as far as confirming assistants, I can't this second, but obviously, I've seen a ton of names out there. I know Randy Shand's name has been thrown around about, you know, possibly returning to Miami as a D coordinator. You know, people brought Jerry Pruitt, and I think Josh Newberry, 24/7, he said he's expecting him to maybe land Alabama. He's interested in Michigan, too. But there's a lot of guys, a lot of former Miami guys. I see Michael Barrow is another guy I've seen brought up, you know, as far as any position coach. But the main name I kept hearing from a few people tonight was, you know, realistic, it is when Randy Shand comes back as, you know, to be the D coordinator. And I heard this actually, you know, picking up pretty good. I hear he does have, you know, legit interest in that job. And it's just a waiting game. Like I said, I know this all happened pretty quick. And I know the big thing was as far as getting the money together to get the high-profile assistants to take this program to the next level. So I think it's going to be a waiting game over the next 24 hours. Like I said, there's been plenty of names getting brought up. And I expect guys from the NFL, college, a lot of guys just inquire. Like I said, it's a great job. And, you know, the recruiting territory, and just to work under him. I mean, a lot of coaches, I think, are naturally going to be interested, a lot of high-profile guys. But I think the next 24 hours will definitely be telling as far as which guys are really, you know, like, surely in the mix for any of those jobs.
Yeah, well, you know, like I asked, you know, Greg Biggins before he left, you know, I ask all the questions here, but tell us something we really need to know right now on the recruiting trail, perhaps something that I missed, didn't touch on. What's something we really need to know right now?
as far as, it's almost two things. I mean, before this all happened, I guess I was going to go with the Felipe Franks. I mean, just with them having Jacob Eason come in for the midweek official and, you know, LSU putting their foot on the gas pedal, really trying to get him back. And, you know, I talked to people close to him, real people close to Franks, and it definitely caught him off guard, too. I know he was definitely kind of surprised about the midweek official, and from what I've heard from people that told me close to the situation, he's really, you know, entertaining LSU, and like I say, he's still not shutting the door on them at all. And like I said, I think the Jacob Eason story, and, you know, Rivals.com came out with a report tonight out on the West Coast that Eason could take a look at Miami, too. So, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, two Florida schools that just unexpectedly popped in the mix for Jacob Eason all the way out with Washington. But you can almost go with the Eason story of him and Franks as far as where they're going to end up. Because, I mean, they're both early enrollees. They don't have much time to even figure this all out. So as far as this whole quarterback dominoes and how this is going to fall, and that's going to be interesting. But I think right now, too, with Miami, I think there's some guys that could definitely come in the picture. I know Benjamin Victor, you know, he liked Miami growing up, and he's a kid, I said all along. I mean, he liked Miami growing up, and he definitely seems excited about this hire. I mean, I think it's definitely a long shot. But I think that's another, like, a high-profile guy. You definitely kind of keep an eye on. I mean, like I said, it's not much time to sign it, but as far as Miami, the school he liked growing up, he's really excited about the hire, and I think he's going to give them an honest look going forward. So, I mean, that's a guy to keep an eye on going forward, is for the high-profile guy who maybe end up at Miami.
Yeah, I did see his tweet, so he's, you know, obviously was indeed happy about it, and I did happen to see him up at Georgia this summer, so looked like someone who was interested in going to Georgia and obviously felt comfortable with that staff from what I saw. And since Rick is now down here, yes, yeah, certainly someone who could be in play now for the University of Miami. Definitely
another
a possibility.
Another one, too, is Malik Young. Like, Malik Young grew up a Florida State fan, and I get that, but like I said, he was committed to Mark Richt. That was a big part of his recruitment, Mark Richt. And now that he's local, not too far from Deerfield Beach, that's going to be interesting, too. I want to see how hard of a push maybe they put on Malik Young. Like I said, I mean, he was a big reason. Mark Richt was a big reason in his recruitment, why he committed to Georgia. And, you know, with him coming local down here in South Florida, that's another guy I'm kind of interested in seeing, you know, the pursuit going forward, if they're really going to go after Malik Young. And he'll try to keep him in South Florida. He's a versatile kid that I like a lot, too, a humble kid with a lot of versatility.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, this thing is absolutely crazy between the coaching shuffle, and when you have a coaching shuffle, that means recruit shuffle. I think we're headed for one of the craziest national signing days in a while, and I thought the last one was nuts. So, you know, I think we might top last year, and that's going to cause some gray hairs and some craziness.
Yeah, absolutely. And then with Scott Frost coming all the way from Oregon, and he says he's going to bring the whole playbook from Oregon to UCF. I like that hire, too. I think it's a good – I think he's a real good hire for USF, a young, energetic guy with a good offensive mind. And like I said, for me, too, covering the whole state, that's another one I'm going to be kind of locked in on, you know, leading up to sign day.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And listen, we're going to be doing this every week, so we're going to have a lot to report. There'll never be a dull moment or a moment of any silence here on the Recruiting Roundtable as we catapult our way towards National Signing Day. And as always, Corey, appreciate you coming on and sharing your information with us here on the Gridiron Stud Show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chad, and keep up the good work, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. All right, that is Corey Bender from Scout.com. Sorry about that. A little distracted here. Yeah, that's Corey Bender from Scout.com coming on here and sharing some information with us on this very crazy, crazy Wednesday in college football as we've had a couple jobs go down. I'll be back right after this. We're going to talk. I'm going to have the final segment here and some final thoughts. If you want to call into the show and you're listening right now, the number is 347-633-9365. Again, 347-633-9365. You can call in with any questions, comments, thoughts. What do you think about the Mark Richt hire? Call in. Let me know how you think. Let me know what you think, and we can talk about it. I'll be back right after this.
Con los terroristas. Con los terroristas.
Are you a property owner or want to be one, but you don't have time for property management? Then get an MVP on your team. Who has time for the letting process, for arranging inventories and organizing pre-tenancy cleaning, dealing with deposit negotiation and negotiating with service suppliers and maintenance? No one's got time for that. MVP does, though. Get this MVP on your team. You can rely on MVP Property Management to offer you an extreme amount of quality and professional services for your money. And because they know that everyone is different, they pride themselves in providing a professionalized service to each and every one of their clients. So how do you get this MVP on your team? It's simple. Pick up the phone and call right now. 844-696-8722. That's 844-MY-MVP-CC. Or send an email to info@mymvp.cc. Get this MVP on your team and start winning today. Sure, summer's gone, winter's here, but that doesn't mean everyone's putting their t-shirts away. Whether it's the company recreational basketball team, the youth soccer league for the kids, or the Halloween party your buddy throws every year, t-shirts are as much a part of the American culture as Tom Brady deflating footballs. Screen-printed t-shirts are costly when done for small groups. They're limited in color unless you want to pay even higher prices. More colors, more costly. The answer? Do it yourself at home with your inkjet printer and a hand iron. Whether it's your 7-on-7 team, your child's birthday party, or the family reunion, you can do it yourself and they'll look great. That's right, with heat transfer paper sold at t-shirtsupplies.com, you can design your own logos, do the wording, whatever you want, print it on your own inkjet paper sold by t-shirtsupplies.com, and iron it on with your own hand iron. The design or pictures you put on your t-shirts are limited only by your own imagination and creativity. If you dream it up and design it, the paper sold at t-shirtsupplies.com can get it onto your t-shirt. By the way, don't worry if you haven't done it before. As T-Shirt Supplies has first-rate customer service, they'll help you get the right paper for your project and steer you in the right direction. Visit them at t-shirtsupplies.com. That's t-shirt, no hyphen, supplies plural, all one word, .com. Or call them at 1-877-857-2737. It's 1-857-85-PAPER. T-shirtsupplies.com. Go there now.
Back for the final segment here on the Recruiting Roundtable edition of the Gridiron Stud Show. As we do every Wednesday. This has to be the wildest times in terms of coaching searches, job openings, job fillings, everything like that. It's just a crazy time. Do you folks out there enjoy this stuff, or does it drive you absolutely crazy? I mean, there are so many fake reports going on about the University of Miami job. It was just ridiculous. And I imagine that is going on with every one of these major jobs that are open. And what are we down to? What are we left with? South Carolina, I guess. The last big one to go. South Carolina, Virginia. Virginia thought they had themselves a coach. I need to go on and check Josh Newberg's crime family board. He set up one of them big... You know, one of them big boards, one of them big white boards with the job openings and the possibles there. Looks like Maryland's got their guy. It's going to be DJ Durkin, the former University of Florida defensive coordinator, who was most recently the defensive coordinator and did an outstanding job at Michigan. I believe Michigan, as of this time, has the number one defense in the country. So he's being rewarded for his excellence at the coordinator spot, and looks like he's going to be the next guy at the University of Maryland, which I do need to remind you folks is in the Big Ten. People forget that. still think Maryland's in the ACC or some other conference. No, they're in the Big Ten. So DJ Durkin secures himself a head coaching position at a Big Ten school. So what's he do there? DJ, you know, all these hirings, you get these hirings. When you get these hirings, you got to get coordinators for these jobs. And so that causes even more of a shakeup. So who's DJ Durkin going to hire as his coordinator? DJ Durkin was on the staff for several years with Travaris Robinson. T-Rob, as everyone knows him. Perhaps T-Rob is a possible for the job. He's currently the defensive back coach at Auburn. Just for some reason, I don't feel like Muschamp and T-Rob return to Auburn next year. I think they're one and done there. Just call it intuition, just a feeling that I get. I think Muschamp ends up in one of three places. He either ends up as the head guy at South Carolina, as he is on the list, the short list. He ends up as a defensive coordinator with his buddy Kirby Smart at Georgia. Or, you know what, there is a defensive coordinator job open now at Alabama. Someone needs to fill it. Saban has worked. I mean, Muschamp has worked under Saban. Could be a reuniting there. So we could see that. And there's several places that Travaris Robinson could end up. He could end up in Maryland with DJ Durkin as a defensive coordinator. He could end up in South Carolina with Muschamp as a defensive coordinator. Hell, Scott Frost is an offensive genius, but we all know if you're not stopping people, you're not going to go where you want to go. So Scott Frost needs a defensive coordinator. Who's he going to hire there? And could Travaris Robinson be someone that he considers? Is Randy Shannon someone he considers at UCF? Would Randy Shannon go to UCF as a coordinator? These are all the things that are going to shake out. So if you thought the whole head coaching thing was a roller coaster, watch these coordinators move around. Watch the position coaches that snap up coordinator jobs. That's going to be the next whirlwind that we need to follow. Oh, it's not over, folks. It's definitely not over. I don't know who's going to get that Virginia job. Fedora at North Carolina is being thrown around. What about Gene Chizik? You remember him, right? Won a national title with some dude named Cam Newton. Then his Auburn team and program proceeded to fall in the tank. Does he get another chance? Is he a guy that could end up at Virginia? The word early on is that he was being heavily considered for the Maryland job. Could he end up at Virginia? And there's also Syracuse and Rutgers open. Defensive back coach and coordinator for Ohio State, Chris Ash, was up for that Syracuse job, and today he seemed to have removed himself from that. And almost simultaneously, the interest in him as the head guy at Rutgers has picked up. And I would dare say he probably has the inside track, but, hey man, you know, Al Golden's name is in the distance. Is on the long list over there at Rutgers. Yeah, that Al Golden. So, a number of names there. And again, when you hire a head coach, that means coordinators are moving. That means position coaches are moving. And this all just, you know, brings it back home for the recruits that may be listening to this show. I'm going to say it again. And I'm not the only one that has said it. You're picking a school. You're picking a program. You're picking a community. You're picking a town. Those things don't move. The coaches do. Because in this day and age, there's no loyalty in this game. The institutions are not loyal to the coaches. The coaches can't be loyal to the players. The players can't be loyal back to the coaches and can't be loyal back to the institutions. It's just a circle of, what's the word I'm looking for? Is disloyalty a word? Any English teachers out there that want to correct me? Disloyalty is not a whole part of this thing. Some players get in a program and they just get so frustrated by the, you know, the revolving door at the coach's coaching position that they just hurry up and try and get out of there in 3 years. I mean, you get a freshman some playing time, and they're looking to be gone in 3 years. That's whether they're a third rounder, or a fifth rounder, sixth rounder, first rounder. They're just looking to go. They just get so exhausted emotionally with the whole thing. You can't help but get attached to a coach. They try to get you attached when they're recruiting you. And 9.5 out of 10 of those coaches will tell you, I'm staying at this school, when in fact they don't know. Coach can't really honestly say to you he'll be staying somewhere. He'll say it, and he may honestly believe it at that time, but he doesn't know what's going to happen. You can't expect a position coach who gets an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator somewhere else and get a big boost in pay and up his resume to say no. That's not realistic. So, yeah, they're going to tell you they're staying. You're going to hear that. And if you're any of those guys that signed with Auburn on the defensive side of the ball because of Will Muschamp or Tre'Varris Robinson, and those guys take off out of there this year, you're going to be mad? You can't be mad. Opportunities come, and they move fast in the game of college football. So you can't be mad at Will Muschamp if he has an opportunity to get a head coaching job. You can't be mad at Tre'Varris Robinson if he has an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator. The coaching profession in college football is mobile. They should all live in suitcases. Some of them live in hotels. I know of assistant coaches that moved into hotels and stayed there for like 2-3 years. Lived right out of a hotel, just expecting to have to move. And lo and behold, they had to move. The big winners in this whole coaching thing are the realtors. Yeah, they get to bang that commission out. They bang it on the sale. They bang it on the buy. They bang it. Hey, you're a realtor in one of these college towns. You want to get in good with the college football team. You definitely want to do that. You're going to get some commissions generated and going there. That's for sure. That's just my tip of the day for you realtors out there. Start paying attention and loving college football and go rub elbows and brown nose it around the local college football team, because that thing is very transit. They're moving quite often over there. So, again, we've got a number of jobs that are still open, and we have a number of jobs that have just been filled, and the staffs have not been filled. So that means there's going to be a whole lot of movement going on. Football scoop, coaching search. They're going to do record numbers this month and next month as the coaches continue to move. And people need reliable sources. There's so many ridiculous fake websites out there. You've got fake Twitter accounts. And, you know, listen, there are fake Twitter accounts out there. You know that. You've seen them. They're the name with an egg as a profile picture. But there are some cons that go above and beyond. It will put fake certified check marks. They will write a very professional fake bio. They will put a picture and pretend to be a media member. They will pretend to be a real live media member and post the falsest of headlines on Twitter. They probably get a little stupid little giggle when it's retweeted. That was me a couple of times yesterday. I'll raise my hand on that. I'll admit it. I'm going to blame it on a lack of sleep. They didn't get me today, though. I was well rested. So, there you have it. Still moving around. And listen, this thing's going to get even crazier. It ain't over, like I said. And there's probably a couple people still need to be fired. That might happen. But what's going to happen with Nick Saban? I mean, he lost Kirby Smart. Everyone feels like Lane Kiffin's going to be out of there as well. So if Kiffin leaves, you got to get a new offensive coordinator in Alabama. You already need a defensive coordinator. What are you going to do there? Who's going to be the new offensive coordinator at the University of Miami? Who's going to be the defensive coordinator? Lord knows a lot of eyes are going to be on that because University of Miami stopped no one over the last 4 or 5 years under Al Golden. Nobody. Everyone came in here and got cookies. We let everyone in the end zone. We let everyone walk up and down the field. So that's going to be a big hire, so all eyes on that. So do pay attention as these staffs start to get filled out. It's going to be very, very interesting. And that's going to be a big part of the success at the University of Miami is the staff. Mark Richt is fine, coming from an SEC program where he was fairly successful, not as successful, I guess, as some people wanted or expected. I do want to say this, that out of the last 10 years, Mark Richt was able to have double-digit wins half of those years, which is an accomplishment in that league, number one. And it's an accomplishment in all of college football, to be quite honest with you. Not a lot of people could say that out of the Power Five conferences. I really should do some research on that. Not a whole bunch. And in that SEC, Georgia tied with Florida for third in terms of number of double-digit win seasons over the last 10. Obviously, Alabama's been killing it. 8 of the last 10 years, they've had double-digit wins. And then LSU, who almost lost their coach, second with 6. So Mark Richt, for all of the things people wanted to say about him at Georgia, did have double-digit win seasons half of the last 10 years, something the University of Miami would kill for because we have 0 in the last 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't feel like looking that up. Just off the top of my head, don't remember a double-digit win season over the last 10 years. So if nothing else, we can hope that Mark Richt brings that. But again, the theme here of this final segment is now that we're starting to fill up all these marquee jobs at the head coaching position, now it's time to fill in some assistant coaches and coordinator positions, and we're going to see some heavy moving and shaking here over the next few weeks, next few days. So there's still some more dominoes to fall, and we all get to happily watch it on the social media networks, Twitter and Facebook being the major ones there. So this is fun for a lot of people, and I'm here to tell you the fun hasn't stopped. It's only going to become more funner. Can I say that? More funner. That's what we're going to have. Hey, listen, tomorrow's Thursday, so I got to do. I'm not going to be around Friday, taking off to the SEC championship game in Atlanta. That makes for a good weekend. Obviously going to be rooting for the Gators on that, but any weekend you can spend in Atlanta is a good one. And I will be doing that, looking forward to it. So won't be around on Friday. So we're going to have to do the Football Friday edition of the show on Thursday, tomorrow. So if you're a first-time listener to the Gridiron Stud Show, usually, we are on at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Be sure to listen to us. And the Football Friday show will not be on Friday this week. It has to be on Thursday, so I'm on tomorrow at 10 a.m. with my co-host, Emil Calamino, and we're going to run through the weekend of games, get you ready, and hopefully I'll have Joshua Wilson on from Florida High School, FloridaHSFootball.com, to talk the one half of the high school football championships that will be taking place. That's Class 1A through 4A. They're up this weekend. So we'll be talking about that and more. And so if you tuned in today, I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in live to the Recruiting Roundtable show on Gridiron Studs. And if you're listening to the archive version, we appreciate it. And if you had the opportunity to listen to the show live and call in, we'd appreciate it. And tell a friend if you love the Gridiron Stud Show. It is a featured show on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to thank you for listening. See you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Gridiron Stud Show.
Lost in a romance.
Hey, 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 do you love fantasy sports? Do you love money? Do you love excitement? Well, get ready, because you may have found your heaven. FanDuel has combined all of these great things into one amazing website. Turn your love for sports into money and excitement with 1 week and even one day fantasy leagues with a chance for enormous payouts. FanDuel pays out over $10 million in winnings weekly to its members. That's right, $10 million. One member has made over $600,000 playing in their league. Another customer entered a one-day contest for $25, and get this, cashed out $25,000 that day. FanDuel even offers a 100% money-back guarantee. Sign up now and join a league.
if you don't absolutely love it, they'll give you your money back. You can enter leagues for as little as $1. For a limited time, FanDuel is offering a 100% deposit match bonus to Gridiron Stud Show listeners. That's right, they'll match your initial deposit all the way up to $200. What more can you ask for? Just head over to FanDuel.com right now and enter the promo code GridironStuds when you sign up. But you better hurry. The match bonus is going to end soon. Just head over to FanDuel.com and enter the promo code GridironStuds. Do it now!